you have a copy of the scripture, turn to Psalm chapter 8 is where we'll be today. Psalm chapter 8. And I'm going to move this so I don't sit on it later. Psalm chapter 8. And I just want to talk to you about the gift God's given us and our design. And of course, you know, I'm thinking about Father's Day and being a father and being a man, a head of a household, and all the different responsibilities that God has given us. Every once in a while, we just need a checkup. We need to ask ourselves how we're doing. You know, how are we doing in light of how God's made us and how God has designed us? The name of this sermon is God, and we'll say this over and over, but God has designed us to win. God has designed us to win. I have a bit of a competitive side. It might be an understatement. But I often try to keep it in the shadows, because as soon as it riles up, you know, I'm gone. It's off. You know, I'm ready to go. I love the fact that God has not destined me to be an eternal loser. God has not destined me to be in trouble and to be lackluster and to all that. God has designed me. He's designed us to win. God has designed us to be victorious. God has designed us to be triumphant. God has designed us to win. And it's just an awesome, awesome reality that I couldn't run from if I tried. Often we try to make excuses for why we have our shortcomings, why we fail, why we don't even try, why we've grown apathetic, and we've just turned our life around and said, I just can't win. I don't always feel like a winner. Do y'all feel like a winner? So I'm a winner, huh? This is what it looks like. God's grand design. I think about my life sometimes and go, really? This is it? This is the successful, you know, this is what you've meant for me to be? And it gets, you know, it begins to churn questions. If God designed me to win, how do I get to where He wants me to be then? And I believe Psalm chapter 8 really helps us get there, helps us answer some questions. Who am I? What am I here for? And how, if God designed me to be a winner, how am I going to really accomplish that? So let me read Psalm 8 and we'll pray. This is what it says in Psalm 8. Our Lord, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. And out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the work of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let's pray. Father God, would you give us, just in our hearts and minds, would you give us a vision of how excellent you are, how majestic is your name in all the earth, how great you are, so that we would come to understand that when you made us, you had a great design, you had a great plan. Would you show us, Lord, how it's still possible for us to walk in your plan? To still be crowned with glory and honor? To still have a dominion and work alongside you, walk with you in your way? Would you teach us these things, Father? We've gone astray. We've lost confidence in ourselves. We need you to build us again. We need you to dust off the prints and the goal for your design and remind us that we have been created in the image of God, that we have in us the breath of life, that we are the redeemed for your purpose and your glory. We love you, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I have an opportunity, and this is kind of an invitation slash commercial, but I have an opportunity this Friday coming up to speak at the Branch of Hope in Water Valley, which is it's a place where people come who are struggling with drugs and alcohol, and they come here and they find hope. They find hope. We're trying to get a Branch of Hope in Grenada so that folks don't have to go here, there, and yonder, and the one in Water Valley, they're full up, you know. We have needs. People have need for hope here in Grenada. I have a chance to speak up there this Friday, and that's an invitation, and I'm also asking y'all to pray for me when I do speak up there. Part of what I'm going to speak up there, though, is just to tell folks how I've gone astray, how I'd gone astray. And there was a time, and I know y'all view me, and those you know me, you view me a certain way. I mean, I'm an only child. There was a time when I grew up, and I had felt I had gone so far off the path that my life would be useless outside of one thing, that people could look at the destruction that happened in my life and say, I don't want to go down the same road that guy went down. I thought that's what I was relegated to. I thought that's what all I had. I thought I had burnt every other bridge to get to where I thought would be good, that I thought would be right. What everybody said was good and right, I thought there was no way I had a shot at it. I had obviously blown it. And that's just where I lived. And you know how disappointing and depressing it is to live in that place? When you think your life's used up and you're on the wrong road and you're nothing but a wrong way sign, lived my life as a wrong way sign. Look at that guy. That's the wrong way. That's the wrong way. It was the way of the man, way of the world, way of whatever you want to say. It was the wrong way. It was a destructive path. There's a Bible verse that says, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end therein is death. And that was my road. And I thought, my goodness, what am I going to do? I had no idea in myself. And people started talking to me, John, what do you think you're going to do? Christians started witnessing to me, and I said, fat chance. I'm going this way. A lot of my family have gone this way. This is our way. This is Hank Williams Jr. has a song. It's a family tradition. I was like, man, this is my way. This is what I was. Anyways, eventually God broke through. God broke through and said, you are not destined for destruction. You were not made for this. But how could it be? I'm telling you, that's what's in here now. That's what we're in front of. And it starts with God. Did you notice I said there's a pathway for us? There's a design. God designed us to win, but I need you to know it starts with God. It starts with what place does God hold in our life? If you read those first three verses, oh, our Lord, oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth and your glory above the heavens. You know, this is, we're talking about God, and what an excellent place, what a majestic place. A lot of versions of the Bible say, oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name. What a majesty, what a king, what a ruler, what an awesome, awesome God we have. If we are going to get back on the right path, we need to understand there is an awesome God who is the only one who can put us back there. He's the only one who truly knows your design because he made you. He's the only one who truly knows what you are for. If you've asked that question, which I found a lot of people have asked that question, who am I? What am I here for? Who am I and what am I here for? God can answer that question. He's the only one who can answer it fully. And let me tell you why that's so appropriate to hear on Father's Day. Because a father's job, I want you to get this now. A father's job, whether you're the biological father or whether God has blessed you to be the fatherly influence in someone's life, a father's job is to let that child know who they are and what they're here for. That's a father's job. It's exactly what God does here. It's exactly what our Heavenly Father does. And He gives us the grace of knowing that we've been designed. So the first thing is, I want us to see some things about God. If you have this handout, it has some high points about the Lord. The Lord designed us, and this is where it starts. We're designed to win because we were designed by a winner. I love it. I love whenever I get to think about what God's up to. I wonder what God's doing, because you know what? God wins. Bottom line is, God wins. They try, you know, people can try. Before the church, there was the nation of Israel, and they tried to stop the nation of Israel. They tried to stop God's people. They tried to stop the worship of God by demolishing temples, by getting rid of the articles of worship, by assimilating the Jewish people in with other ethnicities to try to eliminate the worship of God. And you know what? They failed. Then the church came along, and they tried to do the same thing. There was a time in history, many times in history, matter of fact, when they tried to gather up the Word of God and destroy it physically, destroy our Bibles, you know, burn them, pile them up, destroy them, discredit them, however they can to get rid of them. That dangerous, dangerous message. But what happens? In Grenada, Mississippi, on June 17th, 2012, there's a big white guy in the middle of the room talking about the glory of God. Amen. From a copy of the Word of God. Because God wins. God wins. That's just who He is. It's in His DNA. And when He made us in His image, He passed that on. He's a winner. He's majestic. Let me tell you, He's universally a winner. I love it. It says, how majestic or how excellent is your name in all the earth. And it says, in the heavens, and your glory above the heavens. There is not a place in this universe where the fingerprints of God, the fingerprints that made sun, moon, and stars, there's not a place in this universe where God is not glorious, where God is not a winner, where God hasn't set it up, where God hasn't established it, where God hasn't been. You know, He's been everywhere. He's God. This is where we start off. If I got a hope, if I had a hope, and I have a hope to get onto a new road, to have my life change, it's going to take an awfully glorious, powerful, majestic God to do it, because I was determined myself to destroy it. And I'm telling you, that's exactly the position we're in. God is glorious. He is majestic. The Lord is an awesome Lord. Notice He says, our Lord. Oh, Lord, our Lord. Y'all, we were built to be in a relationship with God, and that was God's design. Our Lord. If you're here and you're breathing, there's a purpose for you, and that is to have a relationship with the Lord. Do you know that? I mean, I know you got to pay bills. I know you got to raise your family. I know you got to go to work. I know you got to do all the things in this life that you got to do. But you are here first and foremost to say, the Lord is my Lord. Oh, Lord, our Lord. That's how I know I belong. He's mine, and I'm His. That's a relationship. That's a relationship that changes us. And that's just part of His glory. It's part of how He designed us. Furthermore, it says He's victorious over His enemies. Verse 2 is just so interesting. Verse 1 says, His glory, His name is excellent in all the earth. His glory above the heavens. Those are big things, the earth and the heavens. But what's the next image? And out of the mouth of nursing babies. And we had a baby here. Cute little baby, the child of Israel, and right here in our midst. And that cute little baby says, out of the mouths of babies, you've established truth. How is it we went from the earth and the heavens? Right after this verse, it's going to say, in the stars, sun, moon, and stars, all the way down to a nursing baby. Let me tell you, God is universally in control of the big and the small alike. And the strength that God needs, it doesn't have to be in the big things. God knows how to perfect truth in the most small detail. In the most seemingly helpless. You know, Zoe's helpless. It says a nursing infant. That means someone who cannot get food themselves. Helpless. It says God knows how to establish His strength through the helpless. Let me tell you, when I was in my previous condition, I was helpless. I was like that nursing child. I could not do for myself what I needed done. I could not free myself. I could not ease the anxiety. I could not stop the depression of myself. I could not help myself. I was a baby child. And yet God knew how to establish in me a truth that would win over every enemy. Out of the mouth of nursing babes, he says, nursing infants, you've ordained strength because of your enemies that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. There was powers at work that were keeping me down that make me look like a puny little sissy. There's people around sometimes make me look like a puny. There's big people. But anyway, those powers working in my life, that power of sin, just made me look so small and puny and helpless. But this verse says, out of that helpless little baby's mouth, God is able to silence every enemy and every avenger. He's able to use even me to accomplish his purpose and be victorious. My path to a new victorious life, my pathway to winning is through God. Amen. That's the path. That's the way. How in the world could I live up to what God has for me without God himself? Now I wanted to show you how he graced us. Starting in verse 3 and 4, really 4 through 8, listen to this. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? I said it already, but I just want to reestablish this. One of the ways that man is made to be a winner, that God has designed us to be a winner, is that we are on his mind, he is mindful of us, and he has his presence with us. He says in that verse, you're mindful of man and you visit us. What does that mean except for that he shares his presence with us? Part of what we are to enjoy as being alive on this earth for the short period of time that we are alive on this earth. Have y'all gotten old enough to realize life is short? Anybody here? Which means the time that we spend locked up in prison, backwards on the wrong road, that's precious time. You know what I found? Want to know a glorious truth? Is those people who have spent a lot of time on that road, and they come to realize that they've been freed in Christ. You want to talk about an attractive life. You want to talk about someone who understands joy. You can look at those people, and if they've really been freed, and they come to understand that God freed them, they are happy. They say, thank you, Lord, because I realize I've been made to be in a relationship with you, and you've graced us with that. You've graced us with your presence. You've graced us that you visit us and that you're mindful of us. You know, usually preachers are sitting here telling you, be mindful of God. Put your mind on God. Meditate on God. And that's good stuff, y'all. It's really good stuff. But I just want to let you know, God's been thinking on you before you ever started thinking on him. Amen. God had you in his heart and mind before you had him in your heart and mind. God loved you before you loved him. And God just is that way, and he looks to visit us. He has visited us in the greatest of way. Oh, what a grace. But this is the plan he has, that we live in relationship with him. Furthermore, it says that we've been made a little lower than the angels. That's okay, because angels are pretty high. I don't get bowed up because I'm a little lower than an angel. And it says, and you've been crowned with glory and honor. This is a crown of character. Y'all, we've been called to walk in an honoring way. We've been called to live in a glorious way. When it says we are designed to win, maybe this is the clearest verse. Because you know who gets the crown? The winner. The winner gets the crown. You know, the winner gets the medal, gets the trophy. We've been called to live with a character that is honorable and glorious. See, that's what I thought I couldn't attain. That's what I thought was lost to me because of my life, because of my failures, because of my sin, because of the nasty stuff I had in my life. I thought honor was lost to me. Brian thought that too. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate you. I love you. I thought that potential to be anything that brought glory, that brought light and praise to the good, I thought that was lost in me. Honor is that quality of being respected and admired because you're doing the right thing. because you're walking the right way? I thought that was lost to me. Thought there'd be no way that could be regained. Thought there'd be no way that I could do that. In one sense, I was right. There was no way in my own strength I could. No way that I could walk the right way. That I could do the right things. It says we're to be crowned. A crown is ostentatious. You know, it's just, it's out there. It's visible. It's conspicuous. A crown of glory and honor. Not of our own choosing. That's how God made us. He has made you a little lower than angels and to have a crown. Do you see that? That is a continuous statement that says it's part of the way you were designed. You and I were designed to have a crown of honor and of glory. It's part of our design. As sure enough as we was made to have hands, our character was made to follow a certain pattern that is honoring and glorifying to our Creator. That's how we're designed. How are y'all with that? Hey, it's Father's Day. Hey, men, in your home, do you inspire honor? Do your children honor you? Do your children honor you? Does your wife honor you if you have a wife? Do your friends and your family, do they honor you by saying, that is a man of God? He is someone who I want my children to live like him. What could be more honoring than a dad? Than have the mamas and the people in our life say, do you want to know how to live, son? Look to your dad. That's what you should do. That's how you should live. What about glory? Do you inspire those who are around you to reach out to God? Do you inspire? Think about something that's glorious. It's inspiring. It fills. It lifts and says, whoo, that was awesome. That was inspiring. Does your life inspire? Mine either. A lot of times. A lot of times. And maybe you're here and you are, praise God. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people we need to speak up more. And if you are someone who's honored in your home and honored in the community and honored in the church, would you please speak up? There's people who need to hear what you have to say. And there's people who say a lot. They really need to shut up because they're not those kind of people. Part of the problem in our society is the wrong people speak up and the wrong people stay shut up. And we need that to reverse. So I just want you to be mindful of that. I want to be the man of honor. Let me tell you, I've grown. I'm going to tell you how I got on this path here in a minute. But God has grown me. There was no way in the world I could have been a daddy and a husband. Not for very long. Maybe a daddy by accident. I'll let you all deal with that. Maybe a daddy on by accident and a husband, maybe repeatedly. I was not made for stability. I was not made for any kind of discipline. It just wasn't, not humanly speaking. But when God got a hold of my life, he revealed deeper plans. And I'm just here to say I am so grateful to have the family that I have. To walk with my wife. Her and I have held hands for 12 years now as husband and wife. And I feel so blessed. We talked last night about Father's Day. She said, if you hadn't met the Lord and hadn't met me, she said, you probably would have still had children. I said, yeah. She said, but you wouldn't have had a Joshua, a Levi, an Allie, and an Annabeth. And I said, oh my goodness, who would I be without them? Because they're like the world to me. You want to talk about a crown of honor and glory? I just look at their face and I say, Lord, how you've blessed me. A moral failure, a person of low character, how you've taken me to a different place and made me somebody to these precious souls. And have given me an opportunity to take what you've taught me and pass to them. That's my daily opportunity in my house. That hasn't even got me to church. That's what I wake up to every morning. I could say, thank you, Lord. Y'all, don't give up if you're not that man of honor and glory. If your crown is, maybe your crown, you don't even know where it is. Maybe you lost it in the dirt somewhere way back. I'm going to tell you, God will bring it right back to you. Shined and pretty and put it right where it belongs. God can restore. Let's continue on here for a minute. He's created us for that, but he's also created us to work with him. He's created us to work with him. Want to see something cool? You watch a young man working with another man. It's not always cool when it's me because I'm not very coordinated. And I feel bad sometimes for my boys because they want to do some real work. And, you know, they want to hammer things and wrench on things and drill things in. And I'm not always the best example of that. But I watch as my son has had opportunities to go out with Doc and build some things and drive nails and give them. And Doc said, here, use that power drill, which I ain't got I don't got guts to give my kids any power drills. I don't have the guts to work many of them myself, but he'll work with Doc. And you should see him light up and say, yeah, I drill. And he starts putting things in. And I'm telling you, I was sitting there, I was watching, they were building this ramp out there, and I was there, and I kept going, no, 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 no. And Doc had to say, get back. Get back. And he let that boy screw drill sideways and knocked ways and all that way, and he just said, good job. Good. And you know what was happening? That boy was growing. Because he was working alongside a man who was looking after him, you know. He was there. He was growing, and I was just watching it. What an awesome thing. Listen to what God says to you and me. Listen to the opportunity you and me have on a daily basis. You have made him. Again, hear that? God's designed you to win. You've made him. You've made him to have dominion over the work of your hands. You've put all things under his feet, all the sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. The earth, the sky, and the sea. Let me tell you, that's a code. Okay? That means we've been given the opportunity to work with God everywhere God is working. That's what that means. We've been given the opportunity to walk with God everywhere God is walking. God is the creator and the ruler of this world. And yet he says, invites to us, come on, share. Share with me. And share with me in this dominion. Share with me. And we see people doing this all the time. We control our environment. Aren't you glad for controlled environment? How hot is it outside right now? It's pretty hot. We controlled the environment to be comfortable in here. Aren't you glad? We've exercised a little bit of our dominion with God to say we're going to be comfy at church. But y'all, listen. We have a daily opportunity to walk with God. Every day. An opportunity. No matter where you are, land, earth, or sea, hopefully on land most of the time. All that God has made, that's what it means. I've made you to have dominion over the works of my hands, and I've put all things under your feet. Y'all, we've been destined to walk with God, not only to wear a crown, that's who we are, be a person, a man, a woman of honor and glory, but also to be a man or woman who works with God, to works with God. You might say, oh my goodness, I don't have the resume to work with God. You know what? Sometimes working with God is when you come to understand that there is one of his creation, one of the precious people he made, and they're all bowed down, and they're all beat up, and they're all turned out, and you say an encouraging word to them, or you just pray for them. Sometimes that's how simple the work of God is. You see a young man or a young woman who needs a dad in their life, needs a mama influence in their life, and you step up to the plate. And you say, I'm going to help teach them. I'm going to encourage them. I'm going to do for them what nobody else obviously can right now. That's a lot of times how we do the work of God and walk with God. Isn't that awesome? Now listen, I've done preached over because I still have the best part of the sermon left. So you listen fast, and I'm going to try to give it fast, okay? Because I want to tell you how we can get back on this road. God destined us to win. To be men and women of honor and glory. That's our character. And to be men and women who work with him. That's our purpose. To walk in the way that he's designed us to walk. So that we will always have an answer to the question of who I am and what I'm here to do. Who am I? I'm a child of God, creation of God, here to live out a character that is honorable and glorifying to the one who created me. And I am here to walk with my Father in heaven, who owns everything we see, touch, feel, and imagine, and to walk with him and do the works he sent me to do. Whether I'm worked at, if I'm employed at the stamping plant, if I'm employed at True Light Glass, if I'm employed at Levada, it don't matter. That's where I'm employed, but my work is with my Father. That's where I. That's really what my purpose is. My work is with him. Now I want to tell us how we get on that path. How do we get on that path? And the Bible is so kind to me right now, my would-be preacher self. In Hebrews chapter 2, we have a New Testament commentary on this very verse, this very chapter of the Psalms. And I want you to hear it, because this is how I got from the wrong path to the right path. This is how I came to understand that I hadn't blown my way so much that I could not be redeemed. I want you to hear this. For has he not put the world to come of he has not put the world to come of which we speak in subjection to angels, but one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you take care of him? This is Hebrews chapter 2, starting in verse 5. You have made him a little lower than the angels, but you've crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the work of your hands, and you've put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, under man, under mankind, he left nothing that is not put under him. In other words, we've come to be victorious and to work with our Father in everything that he's made. But now listen to this. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. In other words, we don't see this victory all the time. We don't see how we are winning all the time. We don't see all things put under our feet. We don't see how we're walking with God and how we have. We don't see that godly character yet formed completely. We don't see our victory yet. I don't see it in me. So where's my hope? I love it. Oh, let it build. Where's my hope? I haven't said a lot about Jesus yet in this sermon. Here it comes. But we do see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. In other words, just like us, a man. For suffering death, he was crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for every one of us. For it is fitting for him, for whom all things, and for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Listen to this. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brothers. Brothers, that's brethren and brothers combined. Brothers. Brethren, brothers, sisters, let me tell you how you get back on the right path. We don't see ourselves as winners, but Jesus Christ has won. That's past tense. He has won. He's won it all. And it's not for us to sit there and try to win and get ourselves dug out of the hole we've dug for ourselves. It's for us to say, dear Lord Jesus, I have a problem that is kicking me and I cannot beat it, but you are the winner. Would you restore me? Would you restore me to the place I've been destined for, the design that you've put in my life? Would you help me win with you? Did you hear what that scripture said? We don't see our victory, but we see Jesus, the most victorious person to ever walk the face of the earth, the one whom death came and said, I got you. And he said, no, you don't. And he rose up the third day. He's victorious over all things. Every enemy falls short of the glory of Christ. He is our triumph. He is our victory. He is the one who won on our behalf. He is the way we get off the broken road and we get back onto the design that God's made us for. He is the one who allows us to be crowned with glory and honor. He is the grace of God to you and me. He is the one, the only one, who can put you in the place where you belong and let you know that you're there so you'll have a peace and assurance in you. The way you get off the broken road and the way you fulfill the design God has for your life to win is by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ every single day. Amen. He is the one who's done it. Did y'all get that in there? It says that he did it by the grace of God. It says the one who sanctifies us and the ones being sanctified, that means the ones who are being made clean and pure are the same as the one who made us clean and pure. That's why we're brothers. He's brought us along. That's redemption. That means you've been brought back to the place you belong. You were designed to win. I was designed to win. Jesus Christ puts us back on the winning road. Amen?
Amen.
Close your eyes and bow your head for a moment. If you're here today and you would say maybe you thought you're beyond hope. That's a sad place to be. Y'all, in this room, there are people, there's some tough cases in this room even. There's some tough cases in this room. I don't claim to be to be the toughest of the tough or the worst case scenario ever, but I'm going to tell you, there are miracles in this room right now that God has taken off the wrong road, taken from the broken road and put onto a firm foundation. He's given them their life back. I don't know how more plain I can say it. If you're here today and you need your life back, if you need your life back, Jesus Christ can give it back to you. The life you were intended and designed to live, not the life you had once, not that earthly life, not that getting that, not just getting back on your A game with all the junk that was keeping you down. I'm talking about the life you were designed to live by God. You're not beyond hope. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how bad you are. Jesus Christ is the grace of God that restores our soul when we put trust in Him. Do you need to put trust in Him today? Raise your hand up. If you need to put your trust in the Christ today, would you raise your hand up and say, yeah, say, Jesus, would you just put me on the road? Would you make me a man of honor? Would you make me a man of glory? Would you make me a child of yours? Amen. And just say, look, I need you. There is no shame in us needing God. We need Him. We need Him every hour. We need Him every moment. And He has put us and made us the design to live. If you know right now you need God, I'm just going to suggest a prayer. I'm going to suggest a prayer. Just pray. Just pray in your heart something like this. Father, I need you. I failed in my own strength. And I need you to save me. To forgive me. And to restore me. To be the person you designed me to be. Because of what Jesus has done for me. Would you pray that prayer? Would you pray that prayer? He loves you, and He's not going to stop. You get out in this world, you need to pray that prayer another time, pray it again. You get beat down again, pray it again. His strength doesn't wear out. His love is without end. He will restore you and bring strength to your soul that you can live the life you were designed to live. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the work you're doing in our midst. I feel so privileged that you are mindful of Christ's community church and that you saw fit to visit us today. Thank you, Lord, for the great honor to have your majesty among us. Help us not to take that light. Help us not to wake up every morning angry, disjointed, dysfunctional, and thinking there's no hope for us, thinking that's the way we gotta live. Help us to have a breakthrough that says, if I'm depressed, if I'm low down, if I'm all these things, it's because at this moment in time, I'm accepting and choosing these things, and I'm not coming to you. Although those things don't always disappear at once, Father, you are the remedy. You are the cure for what ails us. And so, Father, would you help us to come to you? Would you help us to seek you and not to live that wrong way life? Lord, we love you. We give you all the glory. I ask that you bless the offering this morning as we take up the morning offering and the ushers come forward. And Father, we just give you all the credit and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.